This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Trash. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson, Zane Pearson along for the ride. It's good to have you along with us as well, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Turnbuckle Trash. If you want to look us up on Turnbuckle Trash, you can do so by finding us on Twitter at Turnbuckle Trash and on Facebook. Our page is called Turnbuckle Trash. This episode, of course, brought to you by...
Go ahead.
No, oh no. Are you done over
no,
there,
I'm
Chuckles?
Not, I'm not
are
done.
You done?
I'm just thinking of baseball. Go ahead. Geeks of the industry, don't forget them. Geeks of the industry. Go ahead.
Can we do our episode now, or do you just want to keep up there, Jim Carrey? Got more jokes there, Chubby Chuckles?
Why, yes, let me think of some jokes. I'll tell you some more because I am a professional radio announcer and I know how to do jokes.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go walk out the door and we're going to walk back in. We're going to reintroduce us, okay? So here we go. Yes.
Yes, Ajay, please come in and grab a headset and a microphone and let us now do our professional wrestling, professionally done.
The quote unquote podcast. Emphasis on professional.
Professional. We are professionals.
In 3, 2, 1.
One.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get to tonight.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Ajay Salveson along with Dave Denton. Zane Peterson is along on the ride somewhere in the back of the wagon chewing on some hay straw. Turnbuckle Trash brought to you by Geeks of the Industry. You can find them on geeksoftheindustry.com. Great podcast of full of sorts of topics, movies, which are actually one of my favorites. Wrestling, you got it all. Comics and whatever else. Good stuff by Geeks of the Industry. Again, we just can't tell you enough, or them enough, how much we appreciate them. And appreciate you, listeners, as well, for joining us here on Turnbuckle Trash. Survivor Series this Sunday, November 19th, at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. The last time we talked to you, to every match that we put there, or at least that we talked to you about, we also put the asterisk and disclaimer of, we'll see what happens in 3 weeks. And I'm glad we did that, because guess what?
Woo!
We've got some changes.
Oh, man, do we ever.
We have a superstar coming back to join the Survivor Series team. We have a change in the Divas title match. We have, a surprising tag team loss, which results in another tag team jumping in, which I just don't like at all whatsoever in any way, shape, or form.
I think I agree with you. We'll talk about that.
And by the way, we've got 30 for 30. Spotlight was on WWE, and of course, Hall of Famer Ric Flair. Really, really good. We'll tell you our likes and our dislikes about that. And we have a song about Thanksgiving dessert. Now, let me just go ahead and throw this out there. I had nothing to do with it. I repeat.
I didn't either.
You had everything to do with it. It's dessert and it's Thanksgiving. We're not stupid. I mean,
by The Rock.
You approved of the Thanksgiving song dessert.
I'll just say it is close to not being family friendly. It's close to not being safe for work. But we'll have more about that a little bit later. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into it. For Survivor Series, we do have a kickoff match, and surprise, surprise, in both ways, it's Enzo Amore versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship. And once again, it's Enzo Amore and Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship. And by the way, it's Enzo Amore versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight Championship. Here's my dislike. Why is it a pre-show match? Is it because no one cares? Or is it because that the card's so stacked now that they're like, well, let's just throw you into a pre-show and hope that everything goes as should?
I'll take item number two. It's just stacked.
So you don't think it has anything to do with the fact that it's, once again, Kalisto versus Amore?
I'm so proud that you got the name right again. So, but yeah, I just, the pre-show, I don't like the pre-show stuff, but yeah, it's 205 Live, and I think they the ratings have been up since Enzo's been on there, so I think they're trying to get better ratings for the pre-show. I think that's part of it. By the way, before you get into the card.
Shoot.
I got this. I've been watching a lot of WWE because I got behind. I basically have watched two episodes of Raw, two episodes of SmackDown over the last 3 days. And I can't tell you, I wish I had counted how many times I heard the announcers or the wrestlers say this. Survivor Series is the one night of the year that SmackDown and Raw compete against each other. They would say it all the time. There's a promo. You know, Survivor Series is the one time of the year that the Raw and SmackDown competitors face off against each other. It was like, you better say this. You know, when they talk about scripting.
Sure, sure.
It was over
and over
the
again.
The same line. And I'm going, that's not how to do it, guys. Let them use their own little way of putting it together. So,
sure.
Anyway, that's that upset me. So,
so ahead. With that, who gets the win?
Well, I think who gets the win is the superstars of Raw and SmackDown that only get the opportunity to compete against each other once each year. I think of on the pre-show, it's going to be Enzo. Enzo Amore.
Yeah, and this one is almost a no-brainer, too.
Now, when
what do you do after this? Like, he has to move on, right? Enzo Amore, finally, can we just move on with a different...
I sure hope so. And who it might be? A guy named Pete Dunne, who was the British champion. When he's going to wrestle at New York, the NXT take... No, not New York, in Houston, at the NXT TakeOver. He's a British competitor... But he is the, when they were over in Manchester, he actually beat Enzo on, I think it was a Monday Night Raw when they were there, 2 weeks ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Dunne is involved somehow and maybe bringing him into 205 Live.
So that's your pre-show match against the Cruiserweight Championship, Enzo Amore, Kalisto.
Yeah.
And we get on to the main card where... For once, only once a year, where the SmackDown and Raw brand get to face each other. Yes. I don't know if you knew about that.
I didn't know that it was once each year that the SmackDown competitors and the Raw competitors get to compete against each other.
Yeah, I had
it's
no
just
idea.
Only once a year.
I just kind of thought about that. It's really once interesting. A year. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
A match that's kind of split 50-50 if you ask people in predictions, but the leadoff match, The Miz versus Baron Corbin. This one, you know, It's interesting because The Miz as a heel has been delicious to listen to. I mean, he is just on a roll, and I really think the crowd actually enjoys it. Who needs to win more? I'd say Baron Corbin. Who gets the win? I'm saying The Miz.
Yeah, and I noticed something today when I was watching Monday Night Raw from this past week.
Mm-hmm.
You know when he does his Miz TV segment?
Oh, yeah.
For years, when he said, the most watched... A talk show in WWE history. This is. And then there would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But now the crowd is getting into The Miz. So
yeah.
They're starting to chant Miz TV. I noticed that today. So that's kind of cool.
And
I kind of think The Miz will win. But.
And really, if they were to have a square off, you know, face to face and have a promo at each other, Corbin would get wasted. And I think that's why the WWE is just saving his rear end, just so it doesn't happen.
Because
he's supposed to be the good guy in all this. And if you put him in the ring, It's like putting CM Punk back in almost in a way.
Yeah.
Just a better guy on the mic is going to draw you more fans alone. So, yeah, I do. I've got The Miz winning this one. And
by crook. I mean, he'll cheat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember the days back when The Shield used to dominate and they never, I mean, it was months before they lost a match?
Yeah.
The Shield's getting back there. It's their second match now together on a pay-per-view. They're facing The New Day. And here we go again. The New Day would benefit from the win more often, or at least more so at this point. But I think The Shield gets it based on if they lose, they go back to square one. And they're supposed to be that dominating faction again where we used to be like, oh my gosh, they're going to win. It's supposed to be a walk through the park. It won't be a walk through the park with The New Day. But again, I think they need that win. I've got The Shield, and I know it's not, it's kind of Captain Obvious here, but I do got The Shield winning.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Thank you.
I agree with you. I think that that the guys of the New Day, they're so over with the crowd, and especially the younger crowd. But just bringing back The Shield to have them lose right now, unless a heel turn on The Shield. That's the only thing I can see where the New Day would win.
Sure. I just don't see it happening, though. Not on match two with these guys. Once again, that match, The Shield versus The New Day. Where do you go with The New Day if they... I guess a loss really doesn't hurt him, though, does it?
No.
Coming to think about it. Because I was going to ask you, where do you go if you lose? It's really... Look, if you're supposed to lose, and you're okay. You're still not losing any ground here.
Yeah. You know, the New Day, you know, you might see them take a couple months off or a month off or so, you know, to rest up and heal up a little bit. But they're so over, especially with the younger crowd. I just don't see them breaking them up as of yet. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not the writer, but I just don't see that happening. And then they can still do programs with whoever is the champion on SmackDown Live. Right now it's the Usos, but will it be for long? That's the big question.
So the last time we did a pod was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
And the card has changed three times.
Oh, man.
Since then. it just gets really interesting. So instead, well, not instead, it was supposed to be Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar. AJ Styles ends up jumping into that conversation. We'll get to that in just a moment. But just a side note, and maybe just a side question for you. With as many changes as happened, is it based on, I have a point to asking this, but is it based on the fact that it's just poor writing? Or is there actually a point to this where they're just, oh, hey, we actually have an idea here?
I would say it's the sell rate.
Okay.
I think when you say sell rate is how many people were signing up for the WWE network? How many people that still do the pay-per-views, how many people were purchasing it ahead of time? I don't think that they were seeing that because it was Jinder Mahal. And nothing against Jinder Mahal. I think he's done a good job as the champion on SmackDown Live. But AJ Styles is a bigger name, and they needed something to get the crowd excited because AJ Styles is an international superstar. So is Brock Lesnar. And Jinder Mahal, to the casual wrestling fan, they don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I think that's probably the reason why they did that.
Here's the reason I asked, because for the women's title, it was supposed to be Natalia versus Alexa Bliss. Then Charlotte Flair jumps into into interruption and beats Natalia and ends up getting the win and now will face Alexa Bliss.
Champion against champion. Yep.
No one needs a win more right now in this division of divas, and I think Alexa Bliss, especially on the pay-per-view, unfortunately, because of who, and I got to be really careful how I say that, but because of Charlotte Flair's character and her stardom, I think she ends up getting the win, but Bliss is going to be really heartbroken in this regard.
You know, I would go with Charlotte Flair also, but sometimes the better angle is to have someone like Alexa Bliss actually win the match by cheating and screwing over the face, who is Charlotte Flair right now. I don't know if you saw SmackDown Live this week, but when Charlotte beat Natalya, she cut a very tender promo in the ring talking about her father and his recent health issues. And she said, my dad couldn't come tonight because of his health issues, but he is watching at home. I love you, Dad, that kind of thing. And she started walking out of the ring, and her music was playing. Then all of a sudden, her music stopped, and Rick's music came in. He had come in backstage without her knowledge, and he was there. You could see the tears start flowing from her face because she was so surprised that Rick was there. The crowd went bananas. The Nature Boy was there. He was looking pretty good, and he had tears in his eyes the whole time, too, from the reaction of the crowd. It was a nice, nice moment.
Once again, it's champ versus champ. Alexa Bliss will face Charlotte Flair at Survivor Series. Now let's go ahead and move on to the Survivor Series elimination. Alicia Fox, Bayley, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, and
Asuka.
Still, I hate that name.
Asuka.
SmackDown's roster will be as such. Becky Lynch, Naomi, Carmella, who, by the way, Carmella holds the Money in the Bank case.
Uh-huh.
If there's a chance that if Charlotte Flair does win, that somehow Carmella jumps in with a Money in the Bank briefcase. Yeah? No?
Maybe hey, so. That's a good idea, you know. Maybe something Alexa Bliss does to injure Charlotte Flair, and then at the end of the match, here comes Carmella, and she's now the champ. That's a good angle right there. I like it.
Becky Lynch, Naomi, Tamina, Carmella, and Natalya on the SmackDown roster. Not much to really say here. It's almost a blah kind of thing. I hate to say that, but these Survivor Series, by the way, this is the 31st edition of the Survivor Series here in the WWE, and it gets worse every year. At least these little group elimination matches do.
I like this one, though. I like the women of women. I like the opportunity to see what's going to happen. Nia Jax and Asuka will be the ones for Raw that will shine. Becky Lynch and possibly Tamina will be the ones to shine.
Only one diva needs to shine here, and it's Asuka. If they're going to continue to make her be a dominant performer in regards to women's, she has to win, and she has to win blowout time.
I think you're right.
If she doesn't, if you have a dominant performer, you have to use it as such.
I think you're right.
If it's not even good for the ratings or whatever you want to call it. Let's go ahead and move on to the men's side of the Elimination Series. Remember, do not forget that it's the only night of the year where SmackDown Live and Raw compete against each other.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just found this out. Thank you to Google.
The only night of the year that these Raw and Superstars from SmackDown get to compete against each other. I didn't know that. Thank you very much.
So we have...
Go ahead.
So the WWE gave four spots in this match to part-timers, okay? You've got Shane McMahon, Kurt Angle, Triple H, and dun-da-da, John Cena is back.
I don't know. I can't see him.
Oh, very good. Well used. Well played.
I know.
I mean, who wins and does it benefit them in any manner?
Who wins is going to be SmackDown Live. And at that point, Stephanie McMahon will step in and fire Kurt Angle. And that brings in, as the new general manager of Raw, Nikki Bella. And Jason Jordan will have a face change.
That's what I'm wondering too.
Yeah, he was replaced by Triple H.
By the way, does Owens and Sami Zayn, I should say, interfere on the SmackDown side?
More than likely. But I do see that SmackDown Live will win, and that's how they get Kurt back into the ring in a more, because he says he still likes to compete. And there's been internet rumors that will be Kurt Angle against Triple H at WrestleMania.
Woo!
That would be good. That would be fun, because both of them can still go. They both can still go. Kurt is not in wrestling shape yet.
But he's got plenty of time to get there.
And he is in incredible condition, though.
Yeah.
He's all muscle.
Again, the WWE Survivor Series men's elimination match will be as follows. On the Raw side, it'll be Kurt Angle, who's the captain, Triple H, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, versus Captain Shane McMahon, John Cena. By the way, on that SmackDown roster is a really weird thing to hear.
Yeah.
Really weird. Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nakamura.
Shut up. And Bobby Roode.
Mora.
That'll be your men's Survivor elimination.
SmackDown will win.
And you got SmackDown winning?
I do.
I do, too. I wonder how much interference will take place, though.
A lot.
Yeah, right? It might even bring too much chaos into it, too. You hope it doesn't override what the match is supposed to be about. But once again, I haven't become a big fan of those matches as times went on. Let's go. Let's head to the tag team. The Bar. The Usos. There was supposed to be a really good match that I was actually looking forward to, and was thrown out the window for whatever reason. And it's kind of actually made me mad. The Usos have been on a roll, of course. Right. They're on a really good roll. It was supposed to be Rollins and Ambrose versus the Usos. That was thrown out of the way after the Bar got the win. And so now you have the Bar versus the Usos, and I think this turns into a crap tag team match, so the Usos win.
I don't think it's going to be a crap match by any means, but because I think Cesaro and Sheamus are a great tag team. I'm like you, a little bit disappointed, but Roman Reigns had been ill, and he came back, and they were looking for a way to get him involved. So that's why you also have that six-man match between the Shield and the New Day. So I'm going to say that the winners will be the Bar.
Really?
Yes. I'll go out on a limb and say the Bar. Because they are the Bar.
Thank you. And just, again, a solid reminder to you all, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the only time of the year in the WWE that you get to see Raw versus SmackDown. Raw competitors versus SmackDown competitors.
Yes, the one night of the year that SmackDown and Raw compete against each other. We haven't heard that a lot, but it is the one time of year.
Once again, chaos got in the way in the last 3 weeks. AJ Styles will be taking the place of Jinder Mahal to face Brock Lesnar. That's right, AJ Styles will be facing Brock Lesnar, a match that some people have thought it's going to end up being a squash, just because based on if AJ Styles could even, just the size of him versus a guy of Brock Lesnar's size. I go otherwise. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that Alabama loses here, that AJ Styles does get the win over Brock Lesnar. I don't know how. I'm not sure if it's going to be clean. I'm not sure. You know what? It may not even be pretty. But I think AJ Styles pulls off one of the biggest upsets in a long time in the WWE, and the biggest upset of the year.
I agree. I think it's going to be AJ Styles.
No kidding.
Something will happen to set up Brock Lesnar against whomever. And that whomever, I think, in the future is Strowman.
Oh, Braun Strowman, huh? Yeah.
Don't be surprised.
Does the match go longer than 10 minutes?
I know AJ can go longer
than
10
minutes.
Yeah,
AJ could get, but I mean, and Brock's in that shape.
Yeah, he's in that kind of shape, yeah.
But is he that interested in going in a match over 10 minutes?
I think that doesn't feature
The Undertaker.
You can't have a main event like that without it, I can't say that because Goldberg and him only went, 10 seconds? 15?
Let's throw that out the window.
I think it's going to go at least 15.
And you've got AJ Styles, too,
AJ Styles.
I was leaning on a clip
the
by myself.
The phenomenal one.
Special announcement for all of you. Dave Denton and AJ Salveson are going to do an immediate reaction podcast. Now, it may not be put up until that night or even the next day, but we will be doing an immediate reaction pod, Dave and I will, about the matches and about the event itself. I'm excited about this.
I think we possibly could get it by Depends. Let's see. Do I have to work the next day? Yeah, I do. But I think we can get it on Monday. We'll get it on the podcast Monday.
You know, it's
maybe even that night.
That's actually really extended. I'm actually kind of excited about doing that.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Quickly, also Saturday night, NXT is having what they call War Games. War Games, the name actually comes from WCW.
Show?
Yeah.
They copied the movie War Games.
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
War Games.
War Games is wrestling. That's from WCW, though. Wait, WCW.
Was that War Games?
Yes, they did.
I thought that was World War III.
No, they did War Games.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're going to have War Games Saturday night. They're going to have some pretty interesting matches, too. Remember I talked about Pete Dunne?
Yes.
He's going to be at the War Games in a dark match. They're not even going to show it, but be kind of looking for that.
Okay.
Ready for some news? Should we do a news segment, wrap
Let's
things
take
up?
A break so I can breathe, so you can go to the bathroom. You've been doing the pee dance for the last 10 minutes.
I'm dancing on one leg.
Oh, stop that. Okay, no, really, quit. Oh, my gosh, what are you doing? No, stop that, Dave. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break while Dave runs to the, and literally running to the bathroom. Ajay Salison, Dave Denton, Zane Peterson, news, rumors, drops, gossips, and a lot of yumminess coming up. It's Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No, no, no. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the officers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, no, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most listened to podcast in professional wrestling history. Welcome to Turnbuckle Trash.
Yes, the most listened to podcast. Boy, you must work in advertising or something.
Well, I just watch a lot of Miz TV.
That would do it too. So, yeah.
Dave,
another, yes, sir.
Another, I don't even know. Is it even a dollar anymore? I was going to say another day, another dollar. We're back again.
With the spending, the way things go, what used to be a dollar gets about 10 cents worth now. So,
another day, another 10 Dime. Cents.
Yeah.
Wow. That's well, glad me. You could make it.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, man. That's great.
So, talk to me a little bit here, Dave. Lots been going on lately in the wonderful world of professional wrestling. As always, it seems like another week and another WWE pay-per-view, and another something
one.
Going on.
And another one. Another yeah, one. Survivor Series coming up on Sunday from Houston, Texas. NXT is reviving the War Games, by the way. Remember when WCW did mm-hmm. War Games? That's going on in Houston. Then I guess they're staying in the Houston area for a couple of days, because I was just watching SmackDown, and they said they would be from Houston on Tuesday night, too. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was NXT.
Yes.
I don't know why, but it makes me think of we've been talking a little bit like last week, and you and I talk also texting personally when we talk – We talk a lot about the smaller promotions and such.
Uh-huh.
And we've talked many times about how NXT is just the Vince McMahon way of ripping off the independent circuit.
That's true, yeah.
So we talked last week in one organization particularly that you follow quite regularly, but I have not been into very much, is Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
So I took your challenge, and I did watch some Ring of Honor wrestling.
So the question is, what did you think, my man?
It was good. It was good.
It is good.
A couple guys you told me to look out for was Punishment Martinez.
He is awesome. I love Punishment. That sounds kind of freaky, doesn't it?
Yes.
I like Punishment.
Yes, Dave. No BDSM here, so.
No, okay.
Just wrestling, Dave, just wrestling.
Yeah, that's right, okay.
So, last week, I think, I watched it on the Fight TV app.
Uh-huh.
And Punishment Martinez took on a guy. I wish I could remember who he was. I don't know. You're a lot more familiar with the roster than I am.
Yeah.
But it was a good match, dude. God, it was good match and good quality. And this dude, I liked this other guy. I wouldn't necessarily say I liked him more than Punishment Martinez, but he was laying the punishment down on Martinez.
Uh huh.
And it ended up being a pretty good match. But dude, that guy can move, old Punishment.
Yeah, you know, he's tall. He is. I'd say what, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, they said he was 6'7".
Uh huh. So, and he's got a great look about him. He's got he's dark complected, dark hair, got some tattoos. I mean, he just looks like a you know, for lack of a better term, he just looks like a badass. You know,
yeah.
He just that's his persona. And he's got this great deep voice when they let him do promos, which I'm sure he's still learning that end of it. But yeah, I think Punishment Martinez is going to be a star in the future, and I would not be surprised if Vince goes after him.
So one guy you've talked to me a lot about is and they were on the show was the Briscoes.
Oh, Mark and Jay Briscoe, right?
Yeah, tell me about the Briscoes for a minute. What's
okay, the Briscoes are actual brothers. They have been wrestling basically in ROH since the beginning.
So, do you like the Briscoe brothers then?
I really, really do. The Briscoes as a tag team are incredible. It just looks like a southern redneck that would just as soon, you know, take your eye out than look at you if he had had a few glasses of the moonshine.
So the guy that was wrestling Punish Martinez this week was Josh Woods.
Oh, Josh Woods, right?
Yeah, he was good, man. Yeah. He was good.
He's only been in ROH for a couple of months. You can tell he has an athletic background, probably an amateur wrestling and more.
And so after Punishment Martinez and Josh Woods, here comes your favorite out, Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
And I guess Jay Lethal's been in a slump or something lately.
Well, he lost the title, you know, for almost a year and a half on ROH. I think it was a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Lethal was more of a heel, and he actually held the TV title and the world title at the same time, which is kind of unusual in indie promotion. He's had a couple of injuries. He did have a feud going with the Last Real Man in professional wrestling.
So the guy that comes out and talks to Jay Lethal is Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll is part of the Bullet Club, and you know the Bullet Club, right?
Okay. Yeah.
He is actually from England. They made a really big deal when they signed Marty Scurll to come to ROH, and he came with I'm trying to remember the name. They came about the same time. Remember the match last year that was so great with Ricochet and that British competitor?
Will?
Yeah,
Osprey?
That one. They both signed with ROH about the same time. But Marty Scurll calls himself the villain, and you probably noticed the crowd getting into it with his whoop whoop. and all that. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a good performer in the ring. He's got a good gimmick.
Well, so, and then it, anyways, the show continues on for a little while, and one of the Briscoe brothers has a match, and the other brother, Jay, throws the towel in the ring immediately. So I guess they're going to be they're feuding, the brothers are feuding.
Yeah, you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Death Before Dishonor, the one they did down in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's where Bully Ray was injured, a very severe injury that looks like it probably has ended his in-ring career. It was Jay Briscoe, the one who threw the towel in, that injured Bully Ray. And ever since that incident, he's been brooding. He before that incident, he was starting that little bit of a heel change. You could see there was going to be a heel change coming for him. But since that incident with Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer has talked to him in the ring, said, "Man, you messed up." Mark Briscoe's talked to him in the ring, telling him, "You messed up." Then Jay Briscoe talks to his brother and says, "We attacked him. You know, what are you doing going after the TV talk? We attacked him." So it doesn't surprise me that that happened. But did you notice that Mark Briscoe had a cast on his arm a couple of weeks ago in a match? He fell wrong and dislocated his elbow. And the cast is real. They wrote it into the storyline that he had this opportunity at the TV title, and he wanted to take it. The doctor said no. And then Jay said, "You know, I got your back, man. I'll be your manager." And that's when the top throwing incident came in. I thought that was kind of brilliant in storytelling to bring in an actual injury and make it part of the storyline.
You know, all in all, I think it was a pretty good show. And it was short, and it was pretty entertaining. But the one thing I will say, and I was thinking about this as I was watching it, is what we talked about last time, is, man, you know, if it's one thing Vince McMahon has done, is he sure knows how to put on a television show.
You know, I would agree with you to a point, you know, because he's got the budget and he's got Full Sail University down there where he's got all these young minds that do these incredible things. I mean, they're staging in WWE events. Now, I'm not talking in the ring. I'm talking about that entrance ramp with all the LED lights and the stuff that goes on, and the strobes and the everything that they do. That's incredible, but it takes a huge, huge budget.
Yeah, you know, and the production value of the WWE, you know, the camera work and the angles and the lighting, the crisp, clean, you know, way that it comes across is just, I don't know. Nobody can compete with that.
No, they
you know,
can't.
Ted Turner could compete with it.
But
and that was just because he had the money,
right? Everything costs money. I mean, it's just like in anything else. You can do certain things to enhance your product. Now, several weeks ago, you talked about going to a couple of independent shows. One was UCW, and the other one was it the guys from War? Their microphones weren't very good. You couldn't understand when they were cutting promos in the ring, but you go to UCW and you can hear them cutting promos. And, you know.
So a name you just mentioned in there was Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Correct.
A man you sent me a very interesting write-up was from Rolling Stone, which was kind of interesting. I thought. Why don't you go ahead and take this one and tell me what that article was and what I asked. And I think and I did text you this week and asked you to do some investigating on a particular brand name. So I'm going to let you have this.
Okay. Let me kind of go back to the past before I get into it. We're going to talk the National Wrestling Alliance. That's what we're going to talk about right now. And I will go back to my youth, which was a long, long, long time ago. the NWA was the governing body for most wrestling in the United States. The NWA was a group of independent promoters. Their own promotion usually had their own TV show on Saturdays and Friday nights, late on Saturdays. And then Vern Gagne was also involved with this for a while, and he broke off and formed the American Wrestling Alliance. So let me just kind of go down a list of some of these guys that you'll recognize the names who were NWA World Champions. The Great Lou Thesz, Jack Briscoe, Jerry Briscoe, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Harley Race.
Okay, so pause for a second. So was Hulk Hogan, because I missed some of that, what you were saying. We may have a few technical difficulties, so if I repeat myself, I apologize. So was Hulk Hogan a part of the NWA?
He was with, at the time, he was with the AWA. That's Vern Gagne's promotion. I'll tell you a quick little story. A friend of mine that I went to high school with is a big wrestling fan, too. His name is Wayne Bailey. And I remember we would talk every once in a while. I'm living in Idaho going to college, and he's still back in Tennessee. And we'd call each other every couple of weekends. And I remember him saying, you have got to see this new wrestler named Terry Bolder. That's Hulk Hogan. And he was wrestling in Memphis for a short time. Then he goes to the AWA. And then he gets that role in Rocky III. And that's about the time that Vince Jr., I mean, he hit a home run. He took a swing. He hit the fences, man. He got Hulk Hogan right when he was the hottest product in America. I mean, right off Rocky III. And then he did the WrestleMania gig. And, I mean, he mortgaged the farm. If WrestleMania would not have worked, we wouldn't have WWE right now. I mean, Vince was buying out, or the other smaller promotions were going out of business. And Vince would handpick the product, brought in Randy Savage, you get Kevin Nash. But without Vince doing the WrestleMania thing and getting Hulk Hogan in there, I think the territories probably would have survived better than they did. But that's where the NWA was. Going back to the NWA of 2017, in walks a guy named Billy Corgan. Smashing Pumpkins, Impact Wrestling. Remember all that stuff that went on with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Billy was trying to buy TNA Impact, and it didn't work out. And now he has recently purchased the NWA name. He has purchased their video library. So what they did was, this past weekend, the champion of the NWA, and like I said, the NWA's been around for a long time, but their champion had a championship match. Their champion, Tim Storm, by the way, 53-year-old high school teacher. And he took on Nick Aldis. Now, Nick Aldis, you might not recognize the name right away, but he was in Impact, and he's married to Mickie James of WWE. So, in the Rolling Stone, they were setting up this match between Tim Storm and Nick Aldis, and Tim was talking about Billy Corgan being involved and how Billy's going to kind of change up the way wrestling is going. Billy Corgan wants the professional wrestling to gear themselves towards a younger audience than what the WWE is doing. He's wanting to have more a cutting-edge storyline. But it set up last Sunday the match from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which you can see on the Fight TV network, on Fight TV, the app there. And they set up this match that they were going to do in Hollywood between Tim and Nick. And they actually streamed it on Facebook. And now comes word that the NWA, instead of having a network deal, they've opened up a YouTube channel, and they're cutting a lot of promos on there, showing matches and stuff. You can go on 10 Pounds of Gold on YouTube, check it out. And I was checking it out this week,